eBay Motors is here for the ride. With some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Brake kits, LED lights, whatever you need, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus, at these prices, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
This podcast is for leaders with passion and guts. Nothing less than a championship is acceptable.
Welcome back to Max Out. I'm Ed Mylett, and I am so fired up about today's program because I have one of the most successful human beings on the spinning earth right now that is under 35 years old. This guy to my right here, you all know who he is. You can tell from looking at him, but let me give him the right introduction, okay? This young man right here founded Elite Daily, sold that thing for about $50 million. He's one of the great thought leaders on social media today. He's a serial entrepreneur. Forbes magazine called you the millennial mentor, right? And above all of that stuff, having getting to know him today, I must tell you, my favorite thing about him is the caliber of man that you are and how generous you are and your spirit and your heart and your character. So today is going to be amazing. And so this is Gerard Adams. Gerard, thanks for being here, brother.
Oh, thank you so much. I really appreciate it. Yeah. So inspired right now. It's just like, you know, it's one thing when you look through the lens of social media and you look through on the videos. It's another when you're able to actually come and feel the energy and see it. And most importantly, right back at you, brother. Like, there's a lot of successful people in the world. But for me, it's about character.
Yeah.
And not only do you show up for your community, but the way that you are, you know, when I met you and, and how humble you are and how welcoming you were for me and our team, really appreciate that, man.
Thank you. It's my pleasure, man, to have you here. You know, I've wanted you to do this for a long time. And so the stars aligned. So let's do something great here today. I hope my billing of you was accurate because Gerard has a lot, you know, the very few people you would meet with the success that Gerard's had so young who has kept such a humble spirit about them too and such a generous giving person. So, but I think some of that, having got to know you a little bit, has to do with your upbringing. I always like to take people back just a little bit. And so you grew up a little bit like I did in the middle, right? In the middle class. But tell everybody, you know, just a little bit about young Gerard, even though I still think you're young, but young Gerard. How'd you grow up? Tell us about your background.
Well, you know, I really had an unbelievable upbringing because I had a really strong, you know, group of parents. Like my mother, you know, she just really showed me a love and compassion and empathy and like the things that, you know, a lot of people I feel like don't have that's worth more than anything in the world. And my father was just a strong man, you know. He really instilled the leadership in a very young age. What he used to do is used to write notes and leave them for me hidden in throughout my house.
Really?
So if I went to go get a glass of milk, there's a freaking little ripped up note in there. If I went to bed, there's something under when I pull the blanket up. If I wanted to go to school, he's dropping something in a freaking notebook for me or something. And there were these, you know, just quotes from whether it was John F. Kennedy, Marcus Aurelius, you know, just different leaders. And for me, you don't really understand it when you're really young. You're kind of like, oh, this is kind of cool again. But I really started to appreciate it as I started to get older. So I grew up with unbelievable parents, hardworking. And they really instilled the work ethic for me, but I walked to school, I took the bus, I loved BMX, I was a skater. And, you know, for me, I was just a very creative person.
Even young.
Yeah, I had charisma even when I was young. I used to make my own clothes. I begged my parents for one thing only, put me into art school.
Really?
I wanted to go to art school.
Were you the only child?
No, I have two unbelievable sisters.
Okay.
Yeah, so.
Did he do the same thing for them? Was he writing them notes too? Or was that something he did just with his son?
You know what's funny? I've actually never asked them.
Yeah, it'd be interesting to know, wouldn't it? Were you the only one getting these notes?
You know, it was just, you know, they were, he was very protective of my sisters.
Okay, yeah, I'm
you
sure.
You know what I mean? Yeah, as a dad. And he just, you know, they were way more educated, and and of course he nurtured them. With me, it was a little more tough love.
He was tough with you. And your mom, by the way, I just get this feeling your mom's a major influence just because of how hard she worked. And I watched earlier when you talked about your mom. There's certainly something very special there with you and your mom too, right? What'd you learn from mom?
Well, you know, on both sides of my family, I'm extremely grateful of my heritage.
Which is what, by the way? I know you get asked this all the time, right?
Well, I'm Colombian and Italian, but, you know, my mother's side, I'm going to say like 30 days ago, I went and visited my grandfather. He turned 99 years old. And I, you know, I said it to myself, I wrote it down. I was like, my grandfather's turning 99 this year. I don't care what I'm doing. I don't care what interview. I don't care who wants to pay me for anything, what business, you know, opportunity there is. Yeah. I am going to see my grandfather to help celebrate his 99 and ask him these questions about immigrating to this country. Mm. And, you know, I'm second generation and I just feel like, you know, my mom's, you know, parents, my grandparents, they came here, you know, with that typical immigrant story with nothing. Mm. My grandfather came here first, then he sent back for my grandmother and my mother. My mother was born in Colombia and she came here. So I think that work ethic and that, you know, and just the appreciation for being here and and making and building a life is instilled in my mom. And then, so I really think about that, and that's what really drives me. But it was the moment that I saw my mom working 7 days a week in a supermarket. And that was my first job. You know, I wanted to work. I wanted, you know, my parents weren't like, they didn't give me things, like I had to earn it. Mm-hmm. So my first job, believe it or not, was like working at the supermarket where my mom worked. She was an employee there. And I'd never forget getting that first paycheck. And it was like maybe $300. Mm-hmm. I looked at that paycheck. And I remember just seeing my mom working there, and I'm just like, wow, like, there's no way, like, I gotta get my mom out of this. Like, this isn't real money. Like, how, you know, and at that moment, I started to really feel and think about that. I'm so proud of them. Yeah. I'm so proud of what they've done.
She's gone through. You go away to college, which I'm sure was like a major priority for your dad and your mom, especially for you to go, right? But you didn't last in college. And so I want people that are listening to this, because a lot of millennials are going to watch this because you're here. They're in my audience as well. What happened with you in college?
Well, this is really interesting. I really didn't want to go to college. I was a bad kid right before graduating high school. In fact, I lost touch with a lot of my, you know, my good friends that I had grown up with earlier. I started hustling weed when I was in high school. Okay. And I almost had a moment that really set me back. And I'll never forget the day my father caught me scaling in my bedroom. Mm. And typically, you know, my dad's a little bit more of the old school Italian. So like growing up, if I did something wrong, like he kind of like, I got the belt. Yep. Like my dad like pushed me around. It wasn't like,
I know what you mean.
You know what I mean?
I relate.
And I had a moment where I got pulled over, and I thought that moment I was about to get arrested and it was going to completely ruin, you know, the respect that my father would have for me and just for my community. Mm. And that story I've talked about, but someone was committing grand theft auto in front of me. And when I was doing this drop off, they end up figuring that out, letting that person go and saying, hey kid, all right, get out of here. Mm. And when I had drove all that day, that was the day that I was like, okay, I'm going to college.
Whoa.
Okay, like I gotta take this muscle mentality and I gotta learn about business. Like I cannot be someone who ends up...
Life-altering moment.
That was a life-altering moment for me. Mm. But I ended up crying during graduation because my father wanted me to get into a good college. He wanted me to go to Princeton. And I got into barely a community college. Mm. So I remember just completely freaking distraught, being
Were you crying because you thought you let your dad down?
Actually, no. I was actually really more about the fact that, like, the people that I had been friends with, they were going to these great schools. Mm. And I was alone going to this community college. And I was like, fuck, like, I'm such a disappointment to like, myself. Like, and, but going to college that first semester, I instantly was like, this just isn't for me.
You just knew.
I just knew. I think it was part of the reason why I hustled. Like, I just always was this creative. I wanted to be outside the box. I didn't want to be, you know, I wanted to break the rules.
That's that art thing in you, huh?
The art thing in me, very creative to this day. And, you know, being in school, I was like, this isn't for me.
Yeah, I went to college, and it's one of the things that there's more and more people I interview, but that wasn't their thing. And I think the consciousness about that is changing, too, because when I was in college, one of the things that I observed, too, is, like, it just sort of brings out these cookie-cutter people, the business school. You know, you kind of... And it sort of squashes from people their ambition, their creativity. I'm not knocking college at all. I have a degree.
Yeah, me neither. And I'm pro-Jason. If I had kids, I would tell them.
It's a great debate in my family. My wife's like, they don't need to go to college. I go, absolutely, they're going to college. Well, they're going to be entrepreneurs anyway. It'll give them experience. And it's an achievement. It shows work and finishing an idea. But, you know, you're a product like I am, though, of getting some mentors in your life and having guts. Like, you're where you are. You don't give yourself any credit. You're too humble. Your actual conditions right now, okay, your past and your present do not equal your future. Gerard's present at that time. I'm going to take you guys. We're going to flash forward. Gerard's present. If you gave you your resume, it's hustling a little bit of weed, mediocre student, community college. Now I'm dropping out. If I said, where's he going? Right? You'd say, well, the trajectory is not real good. Trajectories are BS. There's no such thing as a trajectory. Yeah. You at any moment can alter the direction of your life. But one of the reasons you dropped out, though, was you did have this burning desire to do something great in business, right? Yeah. And you met a mentor or something at that time, right? Yeah. Tell them about that story.
Yeah, so, you know, for me, I felt at that time the college wasn't for me, but I kept asking my classes, I'm like, does anybody know someone?
Amazing you asked that.
Like, does anybody know anybody that is like, that's made it, that's become, you know, we talked about this earlier, yeah. Not so much self-made, but like for me at that moment, it was self-made. It was like, oh, you know, didn't have to go through the system, mm-hmm. can break, beat the system, and it figured it out. Mm-hmm. And this internet thing is like really booming right now. Like, does anybody know anybody who's doing this, that's building online businesses, that's going out there and like becoming successful? I was really interested in the stock market at the time, and knows about the stock market. Mm. And one person was like, yeah, I know a guy.
Wow.
And they're like, you know, after class, well, I'll take you over to the house. And, you know, took me over to meet him, and I'll never forget that day. I pull up and, you know, 3-car garage, basketball court, in-ground pool, just phenomenal house. And I just remember walking in, this kid walks down the stairs. I'm like, yo, what do you do for a, sorry, what do your parents do for a living?
I love that, man.
And he's just like, you know, this is actually my house. And in that moment, it was the first time in my life that I finally got to see the success. I got to see someone who's created it. And for me, I'm an experiential learner. It's just the way I am. Mm-hmm. That's why mentorship is so important to me. It's why traveling is so important to me, embracing new cultures. It's why building these type of relationships. It's you know, for me, it's like I need to learn hands-on.
Yeah.
And I need to see it to believe it.
Yeah.
And for me, that was the first moment of like, okay, boom, I'm gonna make this happen. I can see it now. Mm. And I was like, whatever it is that you know and you've learned, I'm willing to bring value to you, show up every day, work for you. You don't have to pay me.
Wow.
Just, you know, let me be a fly on the wall here. Let me serve for you and learn.
And you dropped out of college to go to work with this dude.
Yeah.
First thing is, everybody, that little story he told you about at graduation where he was crying, there's success leaves clues. Can I give you one little clue in there? People that win, that are successful, are incredibly self-aware. Okay? What that was a moment of self-awareness. Even as a young man, you're like, what did I do? What have I been doing? See, there are millions of other guys at graduation who didn't do great, who were going to go to community college. They weren't aware enough to go, this isn't who I am. I can't believe I let myself down. So that's number one. Number two is to have the guts to ask a quality question. The quality of your life is made up by the quality of the questions you ask yourself. Is this guy a trader?
Yeah, he was actually a email marketer. He was an extremely great writer and researcher.
Okay.
And he would basically do research, and when I met him, he would teach me how to do research, how to do due diligence.
Okay.
I didn't even know what that word meant.
Yeah.
How to actually look up companies, how to discover undervalued companies, okay. And how to actually read their income statements, how to read their balance sheets, how to understand, you know, what their business plan was, where they were going, and just what the catalysts were, what a PE was.
So the email marketing was involving recommending buying or selling a particular stock?
Yeah, so the trading aspect was one end, you know, just investing.
Yep.
And then he had another type of business, which was actually helping companies tell their stories.
Okay, so you're young then. How did you end up doing with him? Did you end up doing well financially?
Yeah, so I built up I worked with him. I started my first online business. It was called StockSpot. It was an online community. And I looked at it, I was like, well, I want to do something unique in this industry. Mm-hmm. And I'm now starting to trade. I want to discover other traders. Mm-hmm. So I decided to launch a forum called StockSpot. And I looked at eBay and I was like, well, eBay has a rating system, 1 to 5 stars. What if we had a stock forum where each member has rated from 1 to 5 stars, and you would rate them based on how well they picked stocks? Because I want to find other people like this mentor that knows how to pick them and is recommending them.
You created the space that didn't exist that you were looking
for. I created a space for it, correct.
How old were you when you did that?
19.
That's 20. Bananas. So you, look, there's something special about you, Gerard. I mean, guys don't do that at 19. That's not normal.
Now they do.
Yeah, now they do because they have models. But when you were doing it, there was nobody saying this is possible, right? That's what's so...
We didn't have Instagram. We didn't have that, like, YouTuber, you know, show. Yeah. We didn't have any of that.
Okay, so you end up... I think the deal is you end up making a bunch of money, but then the market crashed too, right?
Yeah, so I took that business to about $10 million in revenue.
Come on, that's crazy great.
I loved investing. I started doing... you know, going and visiting these companies, interviewing these CEOs, and telling them, hey, listen, so this is a huge win for me. I went into a mine. I learned about the mining industry.
Okay.
And I was like, you know, the economy right now, is there's so much inflation. And I saw what was happening within the real estate bubble. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I want to play some gold. I want to understand gold, silver, mm-hmm. miners, commodities. So I went into this mine. I learned about the whole mining industry. Mm-hmm. And then I sunk, you know, a huge amount of the money that I'd saved. And I would put it into these companies.
Okay.
And I would publicly disclose,
yeah,
I'm locked up for 6 months, but I believe in this. This is why I believe in this company.
Okay.
And I've had multi-million dollar trades because of that.
Okay.
And it's similar to like a young little Warren Buffett at the time.
Really young.
But I got overly cocky. I got overly confident,
mm-hmm.
you know, and I started to go all in. And I had, finally, I was up $20 million in the market playing a company that had the patents for TV everywhere, mm-hmm. allowing content to stream through our smartphone devices, which is now everything.
Yeah, right.
So I found the company that had the patents for that. But sometimes, you know, you can be right, but timing is everything.
Yep.
And I just timed it wrong, and the stock crashed, the economy had crashed at that time. And in that moment, I had gone from being this young Justin Bieber, like, oh, I got the cars, and mm-hmm. I'm traveling the world, and I'm a multimillionaire, to literally having everything stripped from me.
Mm.
And
that's when I
really learned about ego, you know, and I just...
What you learned about ego?
So, you know, for me at the time, what I had really learned, and this is what happened with my mother, and it was really the point where when this happened, I didn't want to tell anybody. I was like so scared. We go through we go through so much, always worrying about what everyone else thinks,
yep.
you know? And for me, the only person I was able to tell was my mother.
Mm.
And my mom told me the story of when she immigrated here, they had a studio apartment and it caught on fire and they lost everything.
Mm.
And she's like, when that happened, Gerard, I had to, in high school, drop out and go get a job on Canal Street in New York City in the winter to go make a little money to help your grandparents. And I didn't want to ever tell you this.
Mm.
Here's my mother, who's been the strongest woman, 7 days a week working, always took care of us, loved us, compassionate. Here's my mom crying to me, telling me the story.
Mm.
And she's like, and if I was able to get through that, then you can bounce back from this. Mm. And money can be stripped away from you, but they will never take this and they will never take this.
Mm.
So she was like, you have a skill.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? If you believe in it, like believe in yourself, if you were able to do it once, you can go out there and do it again. And in that moment, I was like, you know, I don't have this, you know, I just felt in that moment that like, I need to figure out, maybe that wasn't meant for me. Like maybe that wasn't meant for me. Maybe something bigger is meant for me. And at that time, that's when I started to make content. I was like, all right, you know what? I want to make content that helps to educate people on what's happening with the economy. Because I lost all this money, but a lot of millennials are not paying attention to, and this even is to today, they're not truly paying attention to what what's truly happening in our economy.
Yeah.
You know, they'll pay attention to everything on social media on a daily basis. They'll probably spend, you know, 12 hours out of the 24 hours a day checking everybody else and what everyone else is doing. But they're not paying attention to their own finances, not paying attention to what's happening with the economy.
Amen.
They're not paying attention to planning for themselves, getting down their vision. So for me, I started doing documentaries on the economy.
Wow.
And then that's what led to then saying, I want to start a publication.
Mm.
And then that was the birth of buying EliteDaily.com for $9.99.
You bought it. $9.99. By the way, what a magic moment with your mom. And for all of you listening to this that are in that down cycle of your career, they can't take away what you know. They can't take away your heart. They can't take away your work ethic. They can't take away your ingenuity, right? Stick with it. Chase the next thing, right? Maybe you got to innovate. Maybe you need to course correct in the business you're in and change strategy. But so you lead to Elite Daily, right?
And I also learned, like, you know, I was at that time spending money on bottles. I was buying had two Bentleys. I was over, you know, going, just spending and spending and spending on things, you know. I recognize that.
Talk about that from your perspective too. So there's all these millennials watching this, and I have this theory where I say, if you can't save money when you're broke, you can't save money when you're rich. If you either have the habit of saving or the habit of spending, and it's the hardest thing in the world, but if you could even save $10 a month, see, habits matter in personal development and fitness and in faith, and they matter in money too. You got to find a way, even paycheck to paycheck, save your 10 bucks a month. But to say that all these young pups out there that are, you know, male or female, that are out there spending money in these different places, what advice would you give them?
Well, I mean, you hit the nail on the head with having an investor's mindset and creating the habit of saving and investing. You know, you hit the nail on the head. But I would also say, for me, one of the biggest lessons was, and this comes from a personal development side, when thinking about wealth creation for yourself, it's you know, talent can help you achieve success, but character will help you sustain success. When I first made my millions of dollars, right, I didn't have the character to sustain it. So that's why it was taken from me. My ego was big. I thought what made me successful was having all of these materialistic things. And it doesn't, you know, and I love having nice things, right?
Sure, like, me too.
For me, buying this watch after I sold my company, it has a meaning. A lot of these things have meaning. Like, if it has meaning behind it, but God bless, go and you know, create that life. But you have to realize that ultimately, it's about your character. And at that time, I was being very selfish.
Okay.
And I realized that, like, I needed to, you know, start thinking about how am I showing up in the world? How am I actually being a leader? How am I actually helping the people around me, serving the people that my team, that community? And I really, at the time, I just didn't have this character of wealth or, you know, of actually being a leader.
I love that. And, you know, by the way, we both want you to have a Lamborghini. We both want you to have a Ferrari. We both want you to have a jet. Yeah. We just want you to have it in the right time, right? Yeah. For the right reasons. But so you find Elite Daily, guys, 80 million unique visitors, right?
Yeah, 80 to 100 articles per day. It went from the three of us to 200 employees. It was one of the best journeys of my life.
And how old were you when you sold it?
So I was 30 years old.
30 years old, everybody. Yeah. Whatever you take from it, but it's about a $50 million sale, right? So bam, you're back. Yep. Now you're really, really back.
Yeah.
Take everyone through it. I'm just curious. I ask people this in my private life. I've never asked somebody on camera. What was that day like? What was it like to go, oh my gosh, like, what's that feel like to have a day like that or a moment like that when my life just friggin' changed?
Yeah, I mean, so it's interesting because the initial feeling was a little uneasy. I actually was a lot of what ifs clicked in for me in the very beginning. It wasn't like, oh, I hate it. It was like, you know, you have partners, you have investors. Mm-hmm. I felt very much like I didn't want to sell the company. This wasn't like something I wanted. Mm-hmm. You know, we had long board meetings and, you know, we saw Facebook changing their algorithms. And Elite Daily for me was like this brand that I wanted to really continue to take to become the biggest millennial media company in the United States. So afterwards, and for real, it was like, man, I feel like my baby just got taken away from me.
Yeah.
And it was until I called some of my closest friends and told them, and they were like, gee, you always want to jump out without a parachute, man. And, you know, listen, man, for once in your life, let this soak in what you just did.
Yeah.
Let this soak in. And that was the moment, like, hearing it from one of my good friends, that was like, wow. And then it was, you know, for me, where it really hit for me was, when I was able to really go and talk to my father first and tell him, I want to pay off all the family's debt. I want to pay off all the mortgages. And then I took my mom after I paid that off. I took my mom. She wanted this Jaguar. I took my mom and got her Jaguar. I took my dad, got him a Mercedes-Benz convertible, which he loved and picked, surprised my younger sister with the car of her dreams. And just,
and by the way, you guys, he still, because I know the story, he still hasn't listed anything he did for himself. Have you noticed? Finally, what is the big thing you did for yourself?
Yeah, I mean, the two biggest things, the first was I bought myself this watch. You know, I just wanted to basically have something on my wrist that just reminded me of it. But the truth is, and this is what comes with, when it comes to having that character and having that wealth mindset, you know, it's like a billionaire's mindset, really. You know, you know, for me, I put it, after that, paying the debt, you know, I got the watch, I put it in a trust.
I know.
I didn't think about buying the next fancy exotic car or anything materialistic. I said, okay, take a step back.
Yes.
How do you want to, forget about the money, how do you now want to leverage this to show up in the world as a better role model? Millennials need role models right now of what it really truly means to be successful, more than just money, but actually showing up as a leader in the world and serving your community. So for me, that was when I was like, you know what? I want to go back to Newark, New Jersey, where my grandparents immigrated to, and really give back to that community, because I want to show that's success.
Yeah.
You can, when you have all the money in the world, it would have been easy for me to go and just, you know, get three Lamborghinis and like leverage just trying to show that lifestyle. I still love a life lifestyle. But for me, I wanted to show that aspect of, for the past 3 years, I dedicated myself to go to the hood.
Yep.
You know, and I built an incubator in the middle of the worst projects in Newark.
Yeah.
And for me, that was...
We're going to talk about that.
That was a reward.
Yeah, guys, that's character, by the way, showing up. This is why I endorse this man. You millennials out there, you guys that are 80 years old out there that are watching this, that's what you do when you win. That's how you handle yourself. By the way, I want you to have 11 Lamborghinis if you choose to do that, as long as you can do those other things. Then you start Founders, right? That's basically what you did. You guys are going to love what this guy did with this. And this model is brilliant. What you've accomplished, just as we're sitting here in 33 years, bro, is so amazing. I'm so blown away by you, and you deliver it in such a way like it's really not that big of a deal. But you're talking about a guy who, you know, let's be honest, hawking a little weed, community college, drops out, 20 million, loses it, comes back, sells his deal for 50 large, and then takes that and goes, nope, that's just the very beginning. Now I'm going to contribute.
Yeah.
So what's Founders? You guys, you're gonna love this. Tell them about that.
Started thinking about social impact, and I had this moment where I said, okay, Elite Daily was this brand. It was the voice of Generation Y. Mm. That's gone, but I am still, you know, I'm still a voice. Like, I finally felt like, you know, it's time for me to start coming out and telling a lot of my life lessons. Start being, I've sought mentors my entire life, but now it's like, it's time for me to start being a better mentor, a better role model. And I just had this moment where I was on the balcony in Miami. I was buying this penthouse. I'm getting the sale. My accountant's like, you gotta go to Florida because of tax purposes. And I'm on that balcony, and I just had this moment where I had this moment with God, you know? And it just was like, as lightning struck my heart of like, this is not where you're supposed to be right now. You got time to do that, but right now, you have this ability at such a young age, Gerard, like to go back to where your family's roots are from and start something and get back to a place that like never actually, like they don't teach entrepreneurship in schools. Like I looked back at my life and I was like, man, like, God, thank the Lord, thank you, God, that I've been able to somehow ask that question and find that mentor and slowly take action in my life to create this success. But like, there's so many people out there that lack the belief system that live in fear and don't even know about truth, like don't even know how to become an entrepreneur, what entrepreneurship really is.
Yep.
And then it was like, there were certain things that got me here. So it's like my EQ, like I was never the smart kid, but my EQ was something that I really started to master over the years. Mm-hmm. You know, the way that I learned how to communicate, the way that I was able to really truly build relationships, the empathy that I really had to build a team. Mm-hmm. You know, these were things that like, again, I never learned in school.
Mm-hmm.
And then financial literacy. Again, the things we're talking about financial wellness and saving, like again, no one teaches you that when you're in high school, you know? And I was like, I want to go back and just start to be a voice and start to actually work with the youth and actually teach them these skills within entrepreneurship, EQ, financial literacy. I just felt that's where my heart was.
How do you guys
execute it? A social enterprise.
Yeah.
So what I did was I partnered up with a real estate developer, and I said, okay, well, let's take an area that's a really kind of bad area at the time, but we saw the future of Newark. Newark right now has got so many amazing things happening, right? It's got billions of dollars of investment. You have all these unbelievable corporations there. We're right now top 10 for Amazon moving there. So there's a lot there. It's one of the first like real technology cities. There has fiber optic running right through the ground. Okay. So there's a lot of infrastructure there. It used to be, you know, it's one of the wealthiest, it's the biggest and was one of the wealthiest cities in all of New Jersey. It just through the Industrial Revolution, it lost all those jobs. Then there was riots, and then it just, you know, it self-destructed. So I know the infrastructure's there. It just needed, it needed someone to go in there and be part of that revitalization. So I partnered with a real estate developer. I invested into the building. We built a high rise of about 20 units. And I said, on the bottom floor, I'm gonna create something for the community. So I launched an incubator. And then I was like, I'm gonna build something where I run a program for 12 weeks at a time. I'm gonna pick 12 companies that have about two co-founders, typically one, two co-founders. And I'm gonna bring them in here for 12 weeks. I'm gonna coach them. And I'm gonna bring in some of the top and the best mentors out there to fly into Newark, New Jersey and work with these young entrepreneurs. So I did that. And and then during that, what I'm gonna do is I'm gonna bring the youth, middle school and high school students, we're gonna go and teach them in class, because you gotta go where they are. If you wanna really truly disrupt
the education system, the first thing you need to do is you have to actually go into the education system, understand how it works.
Yes.
You know, so I was like, I need to study the education system again. So I went, I got an unbelievable team. And we just started going and building relationships with the teachers in the middle school and high schools there. And we started going in there. And then, you know, we taught these classes and semesters of entrepreneurship, EQ, financial literacy. And then after school, we allowed those youth to come to the incubator and work under the entrepreneurs building companies. Then I would bring people like Eric Thomas, who would come in and host, not only working with our entrepreneurs, but then actually speaking to all of these young kids in that community. And then we built an art gallery down the street, and we just started revitalizing this whole area. And now it's completely transformed.
My gosh. Are you hearing you? That's amazing, brother. That is brilliant and amazing. My God, I want to know how I can help with that.
Oh, thank you, brother. I would love for you to come and work with some of these kids. I mean,
I want to.
One of the biggest moments of my life was, you know, I'm starting this thing, and I remember when we opened the doors, I was like, okay, how is this going to work now? Now I'm in this incubator, I'm in this space, and I'm just like, okay, how am I going to find entrepreneurs to move to Newark, New Jersey? How am I going to find local entrepreneurs that want to actually be in this incubator and build a company? Like, how am I going to be able to do this? And I'll never forget, I'm outside on the phone handling one of my other companies, and this young black man, kid, you know, walking by. He's like, hey man, yo, what is this place? Mm. And I'm like, well, this is an incubator. Well, what's an incubator? I'm like, okay, well, this is a place where we teach business. We're able to teach you how to create things in the world, how to solve problems. Mm. He's like, oh, I like business, man. I want to know about that. I'm going to want you to come inside for a second. Mm. He comes inside and I sit with him and I talk to him. And as I'm guiding him, you know, I start to see he's like, listen, everyone's lied to me my entire life. I've seen my uncle get killed on the porch steps. Mm. You know, like, how am I going to be able to do anything? Like, who are you, man? Like, where's the fine print, man? Right. Like, you know what I mean? He's talking to me like that. And he's like, listen, all I know is I got to hustle out here in these streets. Mm. You know, and I just started to see that. Now, remember the early part of my story?
Yes.
I hustled.
Yes.
So I knew I had the ability to finally, I feared telling anybody on a camera ever before that I ever hustled weed when I was young. You know, you just don't want to tell that kind of stuff.
You're proud of,
you know, right. I'm proud of that. Right. But I knew God made me go through that moment this very moment, looking at that kid in the eyes. His name is Shakoy. Mm. And I looked Shakoy in the eyes and I said, listen, man, I've hustled too. Mm-hmm. And if I was able to realize that that was not what I was meant for in this world, you're meant for so much more, you're meant for so much bigger, bro. Mm-hmm. And like, I'm here to tell you that you have such a greater gift for this world. And if you come here every day and dedicate, I promise you, I will be here right there next to you. Oh, and I will guide you and mentor you so that you can find that gift inside of you and realize what you're really meant for in this world. The next day he shows up with a tie on. I'm like, bro, you don't gotta wear a tie around here. But what was interesting was, about a month after that, some of Shakoy's friends from school come by. Mm. And like, hey man, whatever Shakoy's on, I wanna be on that. And apparently he had unconventionally gotten the school to go to the auditorium and gave a motivational speech unconventionally to the students there. And that one moment of shifting his mindset and seeing the change in him, that's when I was like, okay, thank you. Now I know why we're doing, like, I really know why I followed my heart, and that this is the reason why we were supposed to do this. And it's still a battle, Ed. It's not easy.
Yeah.
You know, it's definitely not easy continuing to be there.
I love you, brother. I love you. I'm so proud of you. I'm so proud of you. Like, that's one of my favorite stories I've ever heard. I mean, and I want to be able to help with you. And there's so many, what you're doing is wonderful. And it's brilliant, and I know you're finding the way too. You know, there's so many lessons in the things you talk about, Gerard. It's like there's these things you do so naturally that are just such lessons for people. But did you hear what he said? He said, "Now I got to figure out how we're going to do this." A lot of people out there think, "No, but it's brilliant," because a lot of people, and you didn't even know all that with Elite Daily, and you didn't know that before when you were training. Naive. And I didn't know it in my business. People think, "Well, you have to know every single step before you start." You will never start.
No.
There's going to be so many adjustments and course corrections. What you have to do is know why.
Yeah.
And find the mentor and just start.
And have a vision. You know, for me, I've had a vision. I had a why. I had a vision. Then it was like, all right, let's figure it out. Let's go.
I love this. I love what you're
doing. That's been my motto. And similar to you, faith.
Yeah.
You know, like faith is my business model for sure.
Talk about that for a second, because everything with you, it sort of comes back to that with you, with your faith, doesn't it? So and how important is that to your life? And just speak to that a little bit.
It's just part of, you know, we talk about habits, we talk about routines, we talk about mental toughness. Like for me, it all starts with that faith. I mean, every single day, every single morning, you know, we talked about this, you know, on Leaders Create Leaders. When I, you know, we both take that cold, we both do something with cold water. I don't know if you do the dunking in the cold water.
I do.
You do the dunking. Yeah. I
gotta dunk in the ocean or I dunk here.
That's so cool. Yeah. You know, for me, it's simple. I just, you know, I turn it on ice cold in the shower and I pray. I say my Our Father in the cold shower.
Every day.
Every day. Mm. Every single today, Our Father. Mm. And then I speak out. I speak out what I'm feeling. Some days I speak out, God, please help me. Give me the courage. Give me the strength. Give me the ability to fight through today. You know, maybe because I woke up a little bit depressed. Maybe I woke up a little bit sad. Maybe I went through something. You know, it happens to me a lot. You know, it can be lonely, a lonely game sometimes, you know, going out and serving and showing up in the world. So sometimes, you know, I feel that. I feel lonely. You know, sometimes I have anxiety. So I'll pray to get me through that and to show up as God's son. And then I'll pray for my family. I'll pray for my team. I'll pray for my community. And then for me, when I turn that cold shower off, it's like it hits me, bro. I'm like, let's go. The inner warrior comes out.
33 years old, bunch of money saved. You could just play it cool all the time. You're taking your time to serve, to change the world, and then to admit your frailties and some of the things that you struggle with, I think is just beautiful. Because there's this thing in the world like masculine men aren't supposed to share things that they're afraid of or that they struggle with, right? And real masculinity is actually sharing those things and then showing people that you can still overcome them, which is what you do. But let's talk about you a little bit.
And you know, I learned that from a Navy SEAL. You know, I never was like that. Again, I hid a lot of that insecurity in my life. Because I always thought a leader had to be that, had to be the one who's like showing up for the team, has to be the strongest. You know, I always ate last, but I always showed up first. And, you know, for me, that was how I showed up as a leader. And it was until this is, I don't know if we have that much time we have, bro. But, you know, I really believe in the universe and just like when you're putting, I believe in energy. And this is like the energy that you put in to the world and just into just who you are, how you show up. Like it just, it's unbelievable what comes back to you. And it was Memorial Day weekend. Long story short, I'm at this bar and I see this guy walk in. He's got this hat on with the army flag and he's huge. And this other guy who's jacked. And I'm like, excuse me, sir, have you served? He's like, yes, I have actually. And the woman was like, oh yeah, 30 years. He just got out from, you know, relief. And I was like, would you mind if I bought you a beer? He's like, well, you know, thank you. She's no one ever does that. Thank you so much. And buy this guy beers. We're hanging out. But the other guy, he starts telling me stories and everything. But the other guy who looks like Sylvester Stallone from Rambo, Not Your Boy. I'm like, man, who is this guy? He finally tells, I'm a Navy SEAL. I can't tell you too many stories. I'm on duty. We're in San Diego. Had an amazing time. I leave, I feel like I've met the real celebrities. They are the real celebrities.
Yes.
Okay, not us influencers, not us, you know, these people on TV, all these people we follow. No, they are our heroes. They are the real celebrities. So for me, I was so excited. I finally met this Navy SEAL, met these people. I got to, you know, show them gratitude. 2 weeks later, I get a call early in the morning from someone from the incubator. Said, hey G, there's a guy named Paul here waiting for you. He looks like he's ready to kill someone. I'm like, Paul, I drive over. It's the Navy SEAL in San Diego. I'm like, what are you doing here? He's like, I don't know what it was, Gerard. There was something about you, and I'm not supposed to be here, but I had to come out here because I think I can help you. And I sit in the incubator, and that day he asked me, so how are you? And it was that day I was like, okay. He made me feel like this is a Navy SEAL. Like I could be insecure with this Navy SEAL.
Yeah.
So I'm like, I'm gonna be honest with you, bro. I am stressed. I am not myself. Like, I just gone through a really bad breakup, 4 years. I love her to death. And just, I also just was going through things internally. And he was like, and I was like, but I gotta show up every day, man. And I'm putting on this, this like, you know, this Superman suit for my team because they're struggling. They're coming to me and struggling because we're still, you know, it's bodegas. You can't, it's hard to get healthy food. It's hard to live over there. We're changing it all and it's exciting, but it's still a hard way of life.
Sure.
And, so he was the one who expressed to me, Gerard, a real leader has to show vulnerability. As a SEAL, If I don't let my team know when I'm hurting down, how are they supposed to know when to pick me up?
Oh my gosh, that's awesome. What is special about you? What is unique? What did you do to win? I mean, something special happens when you've done this much. You've lived a lot of life in 33 years.
Yeah.
So why?
I mean, I really genuinely believe that it's in within all of us.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I really genuinely believe that it's just a matter of just shifting from fear to faith. I used to be someone who was so fearful. Like, I cared so much of what people thought of me. I felt I had to prove everything to my father. Mm-hmm. You know, I always felt like I would never, you know, this was a big one for me. One of my first mentors, when I started to break out and become more successful, they said, you'll never be successful without me. I actually had a moment with my mentor who said that to me. Mm. And, you know, so I've had these like struggles, you know, when I was younger, of feeling I had to prove myself, being a little bit fearful. There was a moment in my life where I just recognized that like nobody else is in control. Mm. Just nobody else is in control externally.
Mm.
And I completely can take ownership of my life. I am in control of my destiny. And, you know, I really genuinely believe that one of the biggest things about me is I'm just present, bro. I am extremely present.
Mm.
You know, I'm a visionary, but I am every day present to what the gift is today and what I need to do today to be 1% better that day. Mm. And I just show up every day. And I'm every day. For me, it's 24/7, 365. Of course, I have balance and things, but for me, it's just who I am. I think when you live as your authentic character, you know, this is who I am. Mm. Whether you're a business partner of mine, whether you're the doorman opening up the door for me.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? Mm. To my family, to my friends, to my team. Mm. You know, whether you're looking at me on Instagram or you're meeting me in person, I am the same kid that I always was growing up. Mm. In a sense of like, I'm always someone who is full of love. I think, you know, for me, it's like, I just genuinely believe that the number one thing that will end all suffering for humanity is love. Hmm. It's plain and simple. And I think when you embody that love and you embody that fully for yourself, like I finally got to a point where like, I just love me for who I am. And I want to share that energy with the entire world. I want them to love themselves. I want them to want to give love to everybody, regardless of skin color, where you're from. We can all understand struggle. And I just, for me, I've just recognized, like, listen, we all have gone through things. We've all struggled. We've all have these moments. We all have a story. We're all writing it. And we have such a short period of time. The universe is vast, billions and billions and billions of years. And we're lucky if we make it 100 of them. Like, what are we going to, you know what I mean? So it's like, why worry about what, you know, why live in fear? Why worry about trying to prove yourself to anyone? Why not just step into your greatness? Step into who you are. Step into fully loving yourself and the fact that you have an opportunity today to be present and to take control and take ownership of your destiny. And for me, that's it. I'm so grateful. And every single day, I'm just like, I want to just fully be present. I want to be present to the fact that I'm here. I'm so blessed to be here with you. I want to be present in my businesses. I want to be present in my relationships. And I just think that we can all get caught up with the fast pace of technology and doing and going and hustling and grinding. But I think that your real strength in life, if you said this as an observer, if you can be poised. I don't care what storm you go through in life, because we're all going to go through storms. More money, more problems. It's life. You have to be willing to adapt constantly, constantly adapt, constantly shift your mindset. So number one thing is you have to build your character. You have to find that leader within yourself, because when you do and you become poised, No matter what happens externally, tornadoes, hurricanes, you know, you're gonna lose, death is part of life. You're gonna lose people that you love. Your businesses are gonna fail. You're gonna, you know, things are gonna happen. And it's just, it's part of it. Who would have thought that, you know, the president of the United States would have gotten, went through bankruptcy, right? Would have went through the amount of, you know, there's a lot of things he's gone through. It's just, you know, you look at everyone out there that we admire, they have gone through struggle, but they take ownership of their life. Nobody else does it for them. They're taking ownership of it.
Isn't that amazing? Brother, I've done a lot of conversations I've had in my life that affect me like this one has. Our former president, by the way, didn't even really get raised by his own father, right? Didn't come from a perfect family. Wasn't even raised all the time by his mother, and he becomes leader of the free world, right? And so when you say things like this, man, I'm just so moved by that. You have a massive spirit.
So, you know, I really think that I'm ready to start sharing a lot more. I've done, you know, I launched my show Leaders Create Leaders, and for me, I'm a storyteller. I love shining light on others. I love, because I'm a student, just like you. I'm a student, and I think that's how you grow in life. I'm constantly seeking these relationships and mentors and learning through experience. So, but I recognize that I don't do enough of opening up myself. And I want to start doing that a lot more, and I really appreciate you.
I think you've done a lot of that today, brother.
Thank you so
Before
much
I ask you the last question, like, I find myself wanting to know more about you. I'm guaranteeing you people that are watching or listening, it's like they want more. And so where can they get more of you? So the first, social media-wise, web-wise, whatever, tell them everywhere they can find you.
Yeah, sure. I mean, my number one platform is Instagram. I love it creatively, so at Gerard Adams. And then my show, Leaders Create Leaders, is under Gerard Adams TV. You can just search Leaders Create Leaders on YouTube. Ed is on season 4. I cannot wait for that episode. It was definitely by far the greatest episode we've ever done. And I want to just say that.
Thank you, brother.
Just smashed it.
Thank you.
So I can't wait for you guys to see that. And other than that, you know, I think that's typically where you can find me is Instagram, YouTube, and shoot me a DM, you know, comment, you know, I just try to engage with that audience.
Your content's magnificent. You're so good, though. It's hard to contain you in a minute. And your Instagram is awesome. But this longer format is better because we get to see the real you.
Yeah.
I enjoyed today. I want you to give everybody a gift, though, because I feel like I don't want to have somebody sit next to me that's accomplished all that you've accomplished without asking everything I could possibly get in the little window. So if someone's watching this, they got a chance to have lunch with you. You know, your legacy, you're too young for legacy right now, okay? So they get access to you right now. They get, which would be expensive, but they got access to a lunch with you, right? And they could ask you things about their life or being an entrepreneur, getting their life going. They're at a stage right now where they go, you know what? You've inspired me, Gerard. I do need to change my life. I do need to make some shifts. I need to be gutsy enough, like you were, to maybe make a decision like you did out of college. Gutsy enough to get off the mat when I lose the $20 million. Gutsy enough after I sell my business to go find founders now, right? Like, these are all gutsy calls that took vision, right?
Yeah.
And I feel like I'm ready to do that. But now I got to go. I got to start. What would you say to me? What would your advice be to someone who's now ready to go? They're going to start their business. They're going to transform their body. They're going to transform their family or their spiritual life. What advice would you give them?
Well, I mean, I would tell them they got to inherit what I call being world-class. This has took me a long time to even come to this term of what it means to be world-class, similar to maxing out. And for me, the definition of world-class is being, it's very simple, it's being amongst the best. I'm right now, you know why we're world-class? I'm amongst the best, bro. Like, I'm sitting next to Ed Mylett in one of his unbelievable mansions on Laguna Beach. Like, this didn't just happen. I created this reality. And how did I create this reality? How can you create this reality? It's by becoming world class. It's becoming amongst the best. It's by setting a highest standard for yourself, being of the highest caliber in all aspects of your life. So what I would tell you is you need to sit back and reflect. Are you really ready to be world class in all aspects of your life? You know, are you really to step up to become that world-class leader? And it starts with having a world-class mindset. And that comes from, you know, how do you have that world-class mindset? Well, you got to, like, completely change your habits, your routine, the way that you actually see yourself, the vision that you have for yourself and the way that you see the world. And you have to really live that way and believe that. And then I would work with them on creating a world-class brand. You know, and for me, I think that there's never been a better time for people to really take ownership of their brand. I think that one of the biggest reasons why I'm successful, and if they want that, is relationships, man. It's the impression that you make on the world, how people see you, the relationships that you get. Listen, your life can change within one moment, one opportunity, one decision, one impression. Mm-hmm. I had one, when Ed met me today, I had one shot, one moment, one impression to make on Ed. Mm-hmm. For him to feel my spirit, mm-hmm. for him to see in my eyes and understand how the humility that I have, the humbleness that I have. Mm-hmm. You know, the honor and the respect that I had for him. And life comes down to that one moment. So for me, it's how are you becoming that world-class brand? How are you showing up to create those opportunities, to create those moments, to create these relationships? You want to inspire the world. You want to impact. We all have that purpose. We all have that gift, but are you living world-class? And last but not least, are you living as a world-class leader? As a father, as a husband, as a wife, as a daughter, as a teacher, as a fireman, as a cop, as an entrepreneur, as a CEO. How are you showing up as a leader in the world? And that comes down to your character. So for me, I would really dive into those three aspects. Oh, and that's it. Once you inherit that living world class, I want you to comment right now. That you are, I am world class. I want you to write it. I am world class. And that's what it's about.
Gerard, the profound nature of the things you say is just, like that clip right there is gonna be played millions of times somewhere, brother.
Awesome, bro. I mean, hey, listen, one person, that's all I hope.
You know, bro, it's millions of people are gonna play that last part back over and over and over again. The great thing about this interview is, I'm not kidding you, when you do an interview like this, you know this, at the end you go, okay guys, we gotta cut a 1 minute clip for Instagram, right? It's like, I got 90 clips in this interview.
You too, man.
Isn't it true, Mike? It's like, my gosh, like you can't cut one clip from this interview, there's too much of it. So. It is so good. It was so wonderful to have you here today. I just love you, brother.
I love you too. I love you too. Thank you so much.
It's just magnificent. I'm so proud of you. And we're just knowing each other, and I'm proud of you.
So
I hope you're proud of him. I hope you enjoyed today. I'm just sitting here blown away.
I can't wait. Hey, listen, Ed, anytime you want to, just want to let me stay, no problem, bro.
I got the G Suite sitting upstairs waiting on you. Hey, everybody, listen, I hope you enjoyed today's program. You know, remind you of a couple things here. I'd love if you would write a review of this on iTunes so we continue with the rings. Right now, we're number one in the United States, number one in Australia and the UK, number four in Canada. Canada, get your act together. Let's get the number one. You do that by writing a review. Give it a like or a comment on YouTube. And every day on Instagram, I run the two-minute drill, which means this. When I make a post on my main feed, everybody who makes a comment for the first 2 minutes with a hashtag MaxOut, we select a daily winner that gets gear from me, coaching calls. Every guest does a 15-minute call with you. You get one guest, so you get a chance to win that. Or if you miss the first 2 minutes, just post every day, and we pick a winner from the week, too. So hope you do that. Focus on the two-minute drill. If you enjoyed today, write some comments here. God bless you, and max out.